state contract. But again, I think we got to make sure we're shooting on all cylinders, firing on all cylinders, and it makes sense, and we can do it, and, you know, everyone, and it works. So, but just wanted to tell you all that opportunity is to come. This could be big, obviously, you know, in the sense of expanding existing operator opportunities. And I'm not going to say any more because I've really outlined a lot of it. So I just don't want to kind of promote questions. I just want it to be seen, digested, work amongst the committee, and then we can double back for certain. But just want to let you all know, we, you know, we hear you, we listen, and when I say we from an administrative point, we try to somewhat deliver. And, you know, this opportunity can expand, you know, could potentially expand beyond the 12-month pilot for, you know, operators that weren't on the promotion transfer for this year, and even potentially for operators or clients in VR who may have interest. So, you know, the goal is to, you know, identify the budget and see where we're able to, you know, position ourselves to expand on opportunities while also factoring, obviously, the importance of this contract and what it supports and where our program is headed and where it will be at that time. The one thing you guys got to remember is that, you know, and this is just food for thought, our prior for 15, 18, 20 years was Coca-Cola. You know, we've had a great relationship with Coca-Cola all the way up to the last days of that contract. There was no ill will. There was never a feeling that Coke was not going to be our provider during this period. And, you know, their proposal said otherwise. So one thing that we never know is really future business. And, you know, the goal is to, when we provide these opportunities, we want to provide them to be long-term. And, you know, since these are part of the statewide committee, should anything affect our statewide committee, obviously these will be the first opportunities that would be a concern to the program, so much so that could, you know, could cause complete withdrawal as opportunity. So, you know, I'm not looking to set anyone up for failure, so that's why we're going in this with the mindset of as a pilot and to kind of while monitoring the budget and being sure that we can maintain the other responsibilities outside of vending that are held within the program to ensure long-term programmatic success. So that's what I have. It's coming. You guys should see.
I know you're not entertaining questions, but I want to give one comment. When you see the word pilot, you don't think very big, and 10 people is beyond what I hope for, so I'm very pleased that this is happening. That's 10 out of 13 people that are getting help. Sure, I wanted help myself, but I wanted a lot of operators to get financial help. Just keep in mind, operators on this call, if there is a responsibility to getting this money, and don't take the opportunity for granted and just do a solid job so this isn't looked at as a handout.
Yeah, that's good words of advice. Just to add to that, you know, in creating and discussing this, you know, proposal, I did reach out to Terry Smith as well and you know, picked his brain as to, you know, my thoughts, and one thing that, you know, both of them, him and I, completely agreed on is, to your point, Frank, this is not a handout. You know, there will be roles and responsibilities, and with that, you know, there's expectations that, you know, certain roles and responsibilities are met. There will be, you know, silent audits behind that to ensure that, because I am not of the mindset of providing these opportunities as a cash grab. And if I find that, that's why it's a pilot. I'll argue to the moon and the sun back as to why. And challenge, you know, the permanent offering of this if I find that to be the case. So, you know, so again, this should hopefully provide some good opportunity for individuals that have interest. So, be on the lookout for that. It's either coming this evening or tomorrow, and then we can double back in conversations once everyone's absorbed it, has their thoughts and so forth lined. So, very good stuff there. With nothing else to add to that, I want to go into the next topic. Operator profit, average sale increase. Good news is there's several operators, and there may be more, but I kind of just looked at what I had for business reports during the period in which I asked for, who have been identified to have increases of profitability in comparison to their 2022 of excess of 10%. So I just kind of wanted to highlight, you know, we have, I'll throw names, I'm not giving any prices, but I mean, wage increases, but Mike Haney has been identified, Tony Ford, Shelley, Frank Roberts, Barbara Miller, Keith Haley, Brandy, for the period in which I pulled, Angel, are a few individuals that I was able to, you know, kind of quickly look at to see have had increases in profitability in excess of 10% in the period of comparing January 2020 to 2023. And for the seasonals, I compared to July 21 in comparison to July 2022. So obviously, you know, I wasn't looking at sales, I was looking at profitability. So the good news of this is that it appears that there is some, you know, operators are starting to pick up in their profitabilities, maybe for various reasons, maybe price points have been increased. You know, certain operators hadn't taken price increases for some time, so now they've done that, so that could be a benefit. It could be, you know, the additional employees in state buildings, you know, identifying increases in profitability. I know for a couple of individuals looking at here, there has been an increase of offerings to their establishments that I know for certain has increased their profitability. And for the seasonals, not to discredit, they're a great job, but there could just be an influx increase, obviously season, the weather permitting, in addition to people's comfort levels resuming post-COVID. So the point is, increases are occurring, and that is a wonderful thing to identify, and I will continue to monitor these, you know, random months to see, you know, if we continue to identify that, you know, a slow increase is better than no increase, and it's better than a negative. So hats off to those individuals and who else males have identified increases that I did not mention. So good. Next, vacation payments. Last we spoke, I stated I just had a bit of concern in the manner of how we move forward with these vacation payments, and that concern kindly was more or less in the fact that every operator within the program was receiving a set wage determined based off of 1 week's fill rep's average salary, and I just felt like, you know, that was a good measure determination prior to COVID, but since COVID, a lot of operations have changed, requiring various levels of responsibilities, more or less in-person responsibilities. So with that, I did state my concerns, in which the committee agreed at that time that they would take this concern back to the table and see if there's any other way of structuring vacation payments in lieu of vacation time. And I'm hoping that the committee has landed on a determination in which, you know, seems to be sensible in my thought moving forward. So I do push this back to the committee and more or less the chair for update.
Yes. So we had a subcommittee discussion, and we brought up everything you just mentioned. There was some discussion about, you know, some places are, you know, some people are still doing their part 100%, whereas some others, you look at seasonals or some of the micro markets, some people are in once, twice a week. So we've got not a step down, but it's like, okay, well, you know, somebody that's going to their place
week or sometimes more, you know, rise to somebody that's only going in once or twice a week at the same amount. So we talk about staging it in three different percentage rates, like maybe 100% to someone that goes in all, you know, 50% to somebody else, and less than that if you're like once a week. And we didn't necessarily just want to simplify it, but you've got people that maybe going into their places once a week, but that's not all the work they do. You know, sometimes you're, you know, just like big workers, you're working remotely. You know, you're handling phone calls and emails and if things go wrong at your place. You know, you might be physically there once, but you're doing more work outside of that at your own home. And then you've got other people that are going 3+ days a week. You know, so we were under the mindset of if you were working for yourself or if you run a micro market that's a self-fill, you get 100%. If you're in a partnership of some sort, or a seasonal, it would be, I don't know. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we put seasonal in there. Our mindset was if you ran your place yourself, you would get 100%. And if you were with a partnership, like one of these micro marks where you're in once or twice a week, you would get 50% in lieu of the one week. If anyone was on that call, could you, did I hit it or am I missing something?
I'll just repeat
the only thing that I would put in there is that the operator still has the choice to accept the field rep's time, you know, for 1 week's period. And waive the payment.
Yeah, you couldn't double dip and get both. You're not getting the payment and the field rep representation. So it'd be an either or type of thing.
I do have one more thing to add that I don't think any of us thought of on the phone call, but just to make sure it's clear, this is based off of your primary location. So to not make things confusing down the road, if you have a primary location that you work full time in, then have all these little add-ins, it's based off of your primary location.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I'm fine. So that makes sense. I'm okay with it. I have no gripes with that. That seems logical. So yeah, I'm good with it. Many of you guys vote on that. We can put that in process.
9950166 left the call.
Any committee member want to make a motion?
Yeah, it's Rich here. I'll make the motion to go ahead and accept the terms of the field rep vacation payment as to the amount that is divided in between the people. Any partnerships, 50%, anybody full-time, 100%.
Any more seconds?
Thanks, Randy. We'll second.
All right. I got a motion by Ms. Bracha, second by Randy to, in lieu of field representation, vacation payments would be 100% for full time and 50% for partnerships, those operators that are in a partnership. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed say no. Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Next we have...
Carl.
Yeah,
go ahead, Sheldon. Carl, I'm sorry, this is Sheldon. Question. Right before that, you just brought up, I wasn't quick fast enough. You just brought up the new opportunity coming out down the pipeline in vending. Is that going to impede or change any opportunities with the whole vacation pay thing?
No, because if an operator stays and uses this vending as an add-on, then we will consider. Well, I mean,
you only get one vacation.
Yeah.
doesn't matter how many sites you have, you only get one vacation.
You're only going to get one vacation.
No, 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 I'm just saying, remember, now you guys it's just based stated off your in the voting.
It's going to be based off your primary, so primary would be defined as...
Would the new opportunity be defined as maybe so much new primary?
Well, that's the determination of if they withdraw from their primary, allowing their location to then go on a motion to transfer to accept that opportunity, then, yeah, the vending route would be their primary. And should they get their old location back after they identify, should they identify no one has interest of their prior primary, then, you know, it would just be a reversal of responsibility. But it's only going to be off of what's considered a primary, in my thought.
Primary, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't matter. No,
okay.
All right. Moving on, we're going to go to agency matters. As far as agency update, not much. The agency overall is still doing a lot of hiring, a lot of refills in other departments, VR, children's services, adult services. There's just, you know, obviously, we, as most of you, many of you know, we've had a large group of people retire, not just in our agency, but just in the bureau. And so with that, there's a lot of new people. There's been a lot of transitions of roles and responsibilities in the world of HR and so forth. So there's just a lot going on outside within the agency, I'd say, outside of BEP within the agency, but all good things. All good things, you know, in the sense that, you know, the overall goal is to reposition our agency as a whole to be able to provide overall services, continued services in which many are used to or will be, you know, eligible to receive down the line. So not really much in the way of agency update, other than obviously our great leader Carol joining. But beyond that, it's really a hiring moment at the time. Let me start open forum off, and then if anyone has a question, let's follow that. But I want to start open forum off by giving everyone an update in regards to Danbury Federal Prison. A while back, Frank did inquire on our ability to potentially take over the vending in Danbury Federal Prison. So I did a little history on this, and a couple things. Number one, up to the point of COVID, well, I don't know where I'll start first. All right, well, I'll start with this. It appears that we've waived the vending rights. So to date, we don't receive any direct commission from the vending machines. As to date, we've always, for a reason that I don't know, but I've seen historically, we've waived this opportunity of vending. It appears to be every 5 years. And in turn, we've asked for a 30% commission share to that waiver, in which we have been receiving for some time, up to the point of 2019, September 2019 to be exact. That was the last 30% commission share we received. I had spent some time trying to get in touch with someone over at FCI, Federal Danbury Federal Correction, to inquire on A, where is our payment since our last one received, and B, gather a little information as to what we were waiving in the past, because I seen the prior waivers that stated we waived vending, but I was always of the mindset that the vending in which we were waiving was actually vending of the laundry system, because many years ago, I'm sure a lot of you weren't even part of the program, but many years ago, we used to offer a vending opportunity, a laundry vending opportunity to a gentleman by the name of, I believe, Wayne Sestak, who ran vending machine in the prison. So I was always of the mindset that when we were waiving that, to find out in my recent communication with the warden secretary that no, we were waiving the vending machine. And so I was kind of taken back, because not the fact that we waived it, but the fact that we waived, yeah, kind of, because we were waiving this opportunity instead of adding it to prior statewide vending contracts. But for some reason, it maybe was determined that, now that I think about this, 30% was a better split than maybe what, that could be it, was a better share profit than what our prior contract share rate was. However, in looking into this a little bit further, I identified that the 30% in which we were getting a pay stub was actually 30% of the payment that was being forwarded to the Danbury Federal, what do you call these things? Their employee club. It was their employee club that was receiving the direct 30%, and in turn, paying us 30%. So we weren't ever truly getting 30%, which is interesting. So, nonetheless, I did have a conversation with the warden secretary. I did state that, you know, we received guidance from RSA, that all opportunities on federal property should be the opportunity directly offered to a blind individual. So I did prime her ear with this. I've asked her to forward me the existing contract because I at this time I don't know when this existing contract is set to expire. I can only assume that it's this year. I don't know the month that it went into contract. So I want to be in position to then go back and, you know, insert our first right to potentially offer this opportunity as a vending room, and which could be, you know, pretty lucrative to an operator based off of the numbers that I've seen in 2019. But to also add to this conversation, our last payment received was in for the period of September, July, August, September. However, they did close down the vending for the 2 year period of COVID. So she did confirm that they weren't receiving any vending income during the period of COVID. And she was going to reach out to the contractor who they have with the vending to, you know, find out where the pending, where the payment, the outstanding payment for the period in which led up to COVID is, because they never received income as well. So there's a couple things that need to be discussed, but I do want to share it with you all that I do anticipate this particular location to present as a vending opportunity down the line. I don't know when, but I would hope for this year. Which could be a pretty lucrative opportunity should we not have to fight the fight with the employees there, and once we acknowledge our first right, and essentially, because my position of thought is acknowledging the first right while completely removing the employee club right out of the equation, which would essentially double the profitability in which we once received, or add, I should say, maybe double what we're receiving as a 30% share. So this could be a nice lucrative opportunity in which I estimate could be somewhere roughly in the, and this is an estimate because I don't know, I haven't seen a resumption check, but looking at 2019 figures, I would say this could present opportunity anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000. And the 50 is probably on the low end, maybe.
Is that self-filling, or is that as a third party?
That would be as a third party, but I would say that self-filling would likely not be ideal for a couple of reasons. One, because, and again, I got to find out where vending machine placement is. There is the thought process that in the past we waived these opportunities because of the safety factor that's involved with these. All vending machines aren't in the front, you know, right prior to. So there is the thought process. Obviously, we think safety first, that, you know, if this opportunity was to present itself, there's a couple things. Number one, if it's self-filled, well, obviously if it's generating that kind of numbers and you should choose to self-fill, you already know what kind of, you know, work is involved. Should you partner, there's still going to be some active roles and responsibilities even in that partnership. So if we identify vending machines in which are placed in the front prior to you having to get the, you know, pat downs and go through all the security checks and so forth, that would likely be a tied-in responsibility for you to, you know, self-fill that while, you know, your teaming partner goes in and does the areas in which, you know, have been identified as safety concerns. So I think right now I need to establish, there's quite a few things that need to be established, but in with that is identifying where these vending machines are placed and, you know, kind of figure out roles and responsibilities. So once all of the answers have been identified, I can present to the committee, okay, this is the proposed opportunities, these are the roles and responsibilities in which the agency has determined should be considered for such opportunities. So there's a couple of things that we have to look at. And, you know, I did kind of touch some of this with Carol while I established what information I've been able to establish. And she was actually able to share just some insight as to, you know, the roles and responsibilities that were identified in Nebraska for some of those prison vending sites. And she also acknowledged the safety concerns that they had in Nebraska for operators. So there was that dual role of responsibility where operator, you know, was able to you know, man the front prior to the security check-ins and then, you know, team up with a partner for the areas in which were deemed a safety risk. So once I gather all the information in which, you know, makes a solid block of information to present to the committee, I will certainly look to do so. And then, you know, while also continuing to prime the prison as to our position of takeover. So I just wanted to add that in open forum. That's all I got.
Anyone else for open forum?
Yeah, Dave Blasi.
Go ahead, Dave. I hear Dave Blasi.
Yeah, Tyrell, for the pension, the contribution amount we contribute, is that changed at all? It's still the same amount?
No, it stays the same for those that have been in the... Well, I should take that back. Retirement dictates that. I haven't gotten what you paid last year would be this year. I don't know what, you know, next year's is. Retirement typically will send an email as to that contribution rate change. A lot of times they do offer the ability to be grandfathered in if such changes you know, allow for some.
Okay. Yeah, I know, because it was a new contract. I figured it involved a little bit of the retirement too, so I figured I'd ask.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. Anytime I get anything from retirement, I usually just forward it over. And then when we get something, and, you know, when I get your contribution rate, if there's a question about that, they usually will reach out to me, and I'll have to provide, you know, some sort of supporting documentation that acknowledges, you know, your rate based off of your tier. In which you're considered as, you know, the retirement contributions. The retirement program is very much like the state employee. You get the same, you know, you're viewed as quote unquote a state employee, and so for that you are placed in different tiers, based on your start date.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. No worries. Frank, you had a question?
Yeah, there's one thing. Do we have the majority of the committee still on the call?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to point out, Tyrell and now Carol coming on, other states would do backflips to having these
people running our program.